This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Again,
they didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to June 2008. It's the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us as we head into summertime officially, because everything is done. I guess there's still some Husker tractors that are doing some things, but let's face it, everything is done. Nebraska baseball eliminated from the regional at home again. Three straight times Nebraska at home out of their regional, 03, 06, 08. And Nebraska, one of just two number one seeds that failed to make the championship game of their regional, Long Beach State being the other. They went 1-2 in their regional, and they have been eliminated. We'll talk about Nebraska, and I have to say, quite frankly, the disappointment that was lately, and I can almost tell that we'll be getting into Barb's on the show about that. 1-888-455-ESPN. Pretty wide open phone lines today. Email wide open on the Dent Popper inbox. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Glad to have you along with us. And Daddy back in studio today.
Good to be back. Had a fun weekend. Got away a little bit. You told people, obviously, we told people it hasn't a fishing tournament this weekend. So I know there's anticipation out there. How we did we bring home the trophy? The answer is no. No, we weighed limits of fish both days, but ended up 19th out of the 52 teams. So that was just disappointing. Couldn't find big fish. The wind didn't blow, which did not help matters. The only 2 days, you know, that you want the wind to blow, it doesn't blow. It's dead calm out there. It's hot, but that's life, and everybody had to fish in those conditions. But
how was the weather this weekend for you?
Just balmy and no, just dead calm.
So what's wrong with you?
Need a little chop. Need some wind. About 15.
No. 20. What's wrong with you?
Oh, then I came down with my cold that I had 2 weeks ago. I obviously came back over the weekend. I don't know what's going on. So back, get some more pills this morning. Try and kill it again. Believe me, this weekend I tried to kill it, but Not with modern medicine. Now I'm trying modern medicine. But you're right, Douglas. I think the Nebraska baseball team, and was it smoke and mirrors all year long? Because I heard an interesting comment yesterday when somebody said, screw clutch hitting. Give me a batting average. I'm tired of hearing about clutch hitting getting wins. Give me some people with some batting averages. And comes down to the end, and Nebraska really did not have that, and it showed up.
Derek, also in studio today, doing the producing and whatever else he does behind my back. Derek, somewhere in your vast files, which are a lot like my files, never get cleaned out.
Yeah,
and that's pretty okay. That's okay. Do you somewhere still have a certain essay that I was forced to read, I believe, in December of 2008, about Bo Pelini being hired as the coach? Would that still be in the file anywhere?
I think it might be. I got to dig for
it. Could you effort that, please?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I think maybe there will be another reading of that today, except it will not be by me. It will be by you.
And why would that be?
Because Nebraska, way back when they were struggling with Oklahoma State and Baylor, who was the first, not the first, but who was the first person on this show to ask if something was wrong, to ask if we weren't playing anybody, to ask if there was some problems not hitting, to ask if there was some problems that we had guys in the pitching staff. And again, the claim is everybody did as good as they could. I actually believe that. I think the guys we had did as good as they could. But with all the smoke and mirrors and gas that you were throwing on the fire about how great this team was when they were ranked as high as fifth in the country, They have fallen harder than any team in the country. They have fallen harder than any team in the country. And, Daddy, what really bothers me about this is that it mirrors, and I'm gonna point it out again, it mirrors way too much the football team 2 years ago. When I said time and time again we had not a good season, and we finished with that upset win of Colorado and then got by Michigan, setting us up for the next year when we then lost the final two games, and that sent us into the Bill Callahan spiraling downward trajectory into just the river of sticks last year. And that is what I'm afraid could be happening to this baseball team. They're losing some good players, but as far as a great player on the Nebraska baseball team this year, and maybe the folks that voted for all Big 12 knew a little bit more, you know, who was great besides Johnny Dorn this year? Mitch Abeda was a lot better than he's been, but did that make him great? I think he was very good. You know, when something like this happens, you got to go, how can you be so good, and then when you're supposed to be good, you just run right into a brick wall. You're an F4 tornado right there. What are we searching for answers?
Well, if you go back to the Oklahoma State Baylor deal, I guess I just wanted to be happy for the kids and their success. Well, you wanted to tear them apart at that point. And I don't want to sit in a sea of negativity my whole life and just focus on the negative.
The guy who said fire Bo Pelini game three, or fire Bill Callahan game three. Yeah, that's you. That's you. All of a sudden, from football to baseball season, you did a 180. Because all you were during football season was negative, while I was positive. And now the tables turn in baseball, and you are calling the kettle black, Mr. Pot. And you cannot deny that. That is, I mean, come on, people. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, 1-888-455-ESPN. You know I'm right, because I always am.
Big picture, 41 wins for this ball club.
Great.
Nobody saw it coming.
Great.
Congratulations. Nobody had that picked. Nobody out there could say they thought this team would host a regional. Now, down at the end, now Nebraska seems to, with the approach they take, and it seems to be from day one.
Is he changing the subject? I think he is.
I thought about this a lot last night, and I thought about, there's a Texas approach, which they're done too. But you get in the middle of the season, Texas record isn't all that spectacular. But nobody's up in arms about it. You know, nobody's going nuts about it. They're just cruising along. Hey, yeah, we'll wait. We'll see. We'll see who's left standing at the end. And I'm talking about a 10-year approach. Don't look, you know, well, they're out too. You know, don't come at me with that. They seem to be very even keel. Where Mike Anderson's approach is, we're going to put it all on every at-bat. You know, it's intense. It's intense. It's fire in the eyes. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's pump these kids up. Let's pump this game up. Doesn't matter if you're playing Western Illinois. Doesn't matter if you're playing Oklahoma State. Doesn't matter if you're playing Texas.
So what's the right approach?
You know, I don't think you can carry that, our approach that we have right now at the University of Nebraska.
Well, Texas has better players. Texas can get better players. They have a bigger pool of better players. My point here is, and I brought this up a long time ago, too. I brought it up last week, as a matter of fact. What would have been better? Nebraska scrapping all year long and going somewhere. And I mean, the way things ended up, going somewhere, 1-2 in a regional. Hey, we made a regional. You know, we weren't supposed to do anything this year, but we scrapped. We were over 500 in the league. You know, we did well against Arkansas. We took a game at Stanford. You know, we beat some teams out there that were pretty good, but we scrapped in. We won 30 games. We won 32 games, whatever it would have took to get in, instead of 41. And we get into the tournament, and we go down to Wichita State, who's hosting, and we go 1-2, and we're out. But, you know, we're heading the right direction for next year. Whereas now, all the expectations were then thrown on us a month into the season when you didn't expect it, and I mean, there is zero momentum for this baseball program right now. So which way would you rather have it?
I don't know, but that's a great question.
You need to win at the end of the season. You play the season to be good at the end. And here's another problem. It's not that we didn't play it. We stunk. Nebraska stunk. They went from the third inning against Oral Roberts to the against UC Irvine to the seventh inning yesterday. And let's make no mistake about it, it just happened to be a ground ball that got through. Nebraska didn't have a true hit till a line drive to lead off the ninth yesterday.
41 batters. 41 batters between those hits.
Oh, my God. That's not getting better. And don't even get me started. The pitching was just left-handed. Neither one was good. I swear, how many actual pitches were in the strike zone from the Oral Roberts and the UC Irvine left-handed pitchers? How many? 20%? 20?
That's what I think the unnerving part for Mike Anderson is, because you're chasing pitches out of the strike zone. You're not playing your style of baseball. I just wondered, I think these kids got tired. And say what you want.
Oral Roberts kids didn't get tired. UC Irvine kids didn't get tired. Texas kids didn't get tired.
Well,
we had a Craig Corston that was out with an injury that came back. We had a couple of kids that didn't even play all year at shortstop. We got some kids that weren't playing every inning of 50 games this year. Maybe, tired my ass.
Maybe not physically, but I think pitching mentally
staff,
tired.
Pitching staff? Probonic didn't pitch. Weber didn't start until yesterday. What? Who's tired? Johnny Dorn should be tired. Mitch Abeda should be tired. They're the only two guys that did anything. Opitz.
I think everybody mentally was dragging. Say what you want about the physical approach and how people, you lose a tough game, unable to rally yesterday. They were never in that game. The game was over after the second inning. Over. It was done. Nebraska knew that it was done. It's almost like, you say what you want about the young bull and the old bull. Well, pretty soon, the young bull's running down there and he does what the young bull does. Pretty soon, young bull's tired. Old bull's still walking around the pasture. He feels pretty good. Texas is the old bull.
Okay, so
now they got better athletes. Okay, now, granted, Augie doesn't get. Augie sees these kids in the weight room with their shirts off and goes, "Damn, we just look like athletes. We're big, strong. They're going to be there in the end, year in, year out." You look at Nebraska; they don't have anybody that's going to ooh and aah you with their shirt off. They,
hanging out in the locker room again.
No, I haven't been hanging out in the locker room.
But, I don't know. Have you seen Brooksy Wells without his shirt on?
It's hot.
Pretty scary.
It's hot.
What about, okay, you want to compare Nebraska to Texas, which I think we would all agree is the team, if you're going to try to emulate somebody in the Big 12, you're shooting to beat Texas. All right. Texas has had success. They've been deep in the College World Series. Through all of this resurgence, Nebraska baseball, nobody cared forever. People did not like John Sanders, and even the scary thing, even if you go back and look at some of the records Nebraska had, even in John Sanders' latter years, they were pretty good. There were some years they were 40-17, 40-20. Never did anything in the postseason. It wasn't such a big deal. Not as many teams.
The facilities weren't there.
Forced to play a juggernaut. They just didn't have success. Nebraska's won one game at the College World Series during all of this. One game. You cannot compare them to Texas. Where is the program? We've waited so long for them to be good that we are greedy now. And then with the football program sliding, the baseball program gives Nebraska fans something to cheer for, because God knows the basketball team hasn't. It will under Doc Sadler, but it hasn't. Where do you go from here with this team?
Well, I don't know where you go from here. Do you put all your chips in the hat that that you're going to get a Cash Kalkowski, that those kids are going to come and provide a resurgence? I don't know that you do that. Where do you? This team won't be picked anywhere. Probably sixth or seventh again in the conference.
Well, the only. Johnny Dorn's gone next year, and what do we have left? We're supposed to have some kids coming up, supposedly from Texas with Eric Newman.
Well, if they don't get drafted, and that's what you don't know yet.
Well, we're going to wait and see. The draft is this week, which is a week up, because usually it's the week of the College World Series, and they talk about that a lot. But we'll see. You know, I haven't even heard a lot of names of who's coming to Nebraska that we should be watching for, and they just haven't been publicized that much.
Are hopes unrealistic almost? You're not going to advance every year. I mean, that's what we got the last 6-8 years.
Well, I think I've got an interesting question for you. Was the Big 12 that good? We'll talk about it right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Let's open the mouth, let the words out.
Unfortunately, this happens altogether too often.
We understand what's always on Husker fans' minds, and that's Husker football. And that's why this next Tuesday, June 3rd, Hastings Kino's Bar and Grill, two-time Nebraska Sports Writer of the Year, Husker Illustrated Insider, and sideline reporter for the Nebraska Sports Network, Sean Callahan, is in the house. Sean will show a short video of the spring game, give you a position-by-position breakdown of where he thinks the Huskers are at in his mind, and take all of your questions. Hastings Kino Bar and Grill, 7:30, June 3rd. Dollar long neck specials all night long, and Sean Callahan's in the house.
Doctors of Chiropractic are trained physicians in the art and science of spinal manipulation. They use this training to treat a wide variety of conditions, such as neck pain, back pain, headaches, and most sports injuries. For 17 years, Dr. John Klingensmith has provided chiropractic care that focuses on total body wellness. Maybe that's why in a recent Gallup poll survey, 90% of chiropractic patients judge their care as effective. So the next time life bangs you around, see Dr. John Klingensmith at Klingensmith Family Chiropractic. Call for an appointment today, 234-4940.
We understand what's always on Husker fans' minds, and that's Husker football. And that's why this next Tuesday, June 3rd, Hastings Kino's Bar and Grill, two-time Nebraska Sports Writer of the Year, Husker Illustrated Insider, and sideline reporter for the Nebraska Sports Network, Sean Callahan, is in the house. Sean will show a short video of the spring game, give you a position-by-position breakdown of where he thinks the Huskers are at in his mind, and take all of your questions. Hastings Kino Bar and Grill, 7:30, June 3rd. Dollar long neck specials all night long, and Sean Callahan's in the house.
Walk into your locally owned Big O Tire store and inhale deeply. You know what that smell is? That's a brand spanking new set of Michelins, a pristine stack of Goodyears, a wall of Big O tires that have never touched pavement. At Big O Tires, you'll find great deals on all these tires or just about any tire you're looking for, along with that new tire smell. Oh yeah, that's good stuff. Tires, service, straight talk. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
I'm Drew Anderson with the Cincinnati Reds, and you are listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Mostly showers and scattered storms across the area early today, with some of them possibly turning severe still. Then some redeveloping activity is again possible late and into tonight. Highs will reach around 83 degrees with southeast winds at 10 to 15. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Tremblay.
Back on the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Go to the Prairie Hills Poll and One question on our website at ESPNSuperstation.com. Will Big Brown win the Triple Crown? Huh. Big Red, Secretariat, winner. Big Brown, will he be the winner? I think we know where this is going, but it's going to be a pretty slow week. We'll talk about the NBA Finals as well. Probably put that up there as well. Last week's poll question, who will be the last Big 12 team standing in the NCAA baseball tournament? 66% said Texas. You idiots. You idiots. Nebraska got 20%, and then everybody else kind of had a few votes scattered around. Texas A&M is the only team left, and they got upset by Houston last night, 4-3, so they have to play again tonight. And if Houston pulls the upset, that means nobody from the Big 12 is in the Super Regional. 16 teams! And we've had three ranked in the top 16 or 12, basically the top 12, all year long. They kind of flip-flopped through the four. Missouri, Oklahoma State, Nebraska, and A&M have kind of rotated as they've played series against each other. Daddy, I ask you, was the Big 12 that good this year?
Or, I ask you, did they just beat up on each other all year long and knock each other out in the end? Because you look at things and you certainly thought Texas was on a roll going in. You thought Oklahoma State played awfully well at the end of the year. Texas A&M and Nebraska were the two teams kind of on the downhill slide. Missouri, kind of a little bit of an unknown because of their pitching staff being hot and cold. When they were on, they were really good, but they had to play in the Miami Regional. So there you had to figure that you're going to Coral Gables, you were up against a wall facing a Miami team. Oklahoma, why were they in it? I'm not sure anybody understands that.
They did win two games, though.
Yeah.
They beat Vanderbilt twice.
I think maybe that Texas A&M, probably a lot of people surprised by that, and obviously the poll shows that, just kind of limping in and then being in this position, I think they're going to win tonight. I think they're going to bounce back. They've got to be deeper than Houston is.
Well, you would think so. And again, you know, if you don't go 3-0 and get out of your regional, then you're in trouble. It's pretty tough to have 4-5 quality pitchers. But Miami of Florida and Arizona have already figured they'll be in one super regional. North Carolina State has advanced onto the super regional, and they will play the winner of Georgia Tech tonight. You've got one that's wide open still. San Diego and Stanford and Pepperdine will play tonight to see who advances on after Stanford beat Pepperdine yesterday. And then whoever comes out of that will play either UCLA or Cal State Fullerton. Cal State had to rally back and beat UCLA. That's been a high-scoring regional. Wichita State, they come through, and they will play either Florida State or Tulane. Florida State, who was upset on Friday by Bucknell, and now scores something like 58 runs in the three victories to come back through the loser's bracket. They play Tulane tonight. If they win, they would host Wichita State. North Carolina and Coastal Carolina have advanced on. UC Irvine will head to LSU. Rice will play either Texas A&M or Houston. And Arizona State has moved on, and they will face either San Diego or Fresno State. Fresno State was a 4 seed that came through and won their first two games. That was the only 4 seed out of the 16 that came through and won 2 games. And all of those games will be today.
Are Nebraska fans in baseball becoming a little fickle as well? Only 5,100 attended yesterday's game. Is the excitement gone? Is the magic gone?
I don't know, because I can't say that the part where you would have planned to go to just the Sunday night game, if everybody thought they were going to go to the Sunday night game, because, I don't know, I was watching a sportscast live from the ballpark at about 5 minutes to 6 last night. There was nobody there. I mean nobody. There wasn't 500. It looked like an Omaha Royals game. So, you know, UC Irvine went on and won it. It was a nice day, and maybe a lot of fans had been to the first two and just decided, well, we'll either go Sunday night or Monday, and we'll just see how it plays out, instead of spending the entire weekend at the ballpark. 5,000 still better than probably any other crowd in the country.
No. It is better than any other crowd in the country, but I think Nebraska and the teams become accustomed to 8,500 showing up for these regional, super regional games, and that was the first time you didn't see that. And, you know, they were pretty much dead. I mean, and Nebraska really didn't give them anything to cheer about after the second inning.
Well, we've talked a lot about baseball. The Super Regionals are going on this weekend, and then the College World Series next week. No Friday. Remember, it starts on Saturday this year, June the 14th. That's a change. I'm pretty much 99% to do with television, so that the best 2 out of 3 will be not on Sunday. It'll be on the middle of the week there, the 24th, 23rd, 24th, 25th, when the College World Series championship games will be. We've got the 8-man All-Star High School football game coming up this month. A lot of Legion baseball. There's going to be a lot of All-Star basketball. In fact, All-Star girls and boys basketball going on in Minden this weekend. A lot of the conferences, the Twin Valley, the Fort Kearney, the Lou Platte, and the Southwest are the 4 conferences that are going to be competing. A lot of great athletes are going to be there. We'll talk more about that as the week progresses. The draft is coming up this week. We'll try and get more information for you on that. But there were some other things that went on this weekend, and one story, I guess you would have to have seen it on ESPN sometime, the millions of times on SportsCenter over the last 36 hours. I don't know if it was on yesterday morning, but it was about Somersville, South Carolina, which is a suburb of Charleston. And of course, if you remember, they had the catastrophe with the fire and the fire department. And trying to make this long story a little short, this Summersville, South Carolina basketball team, the assistant coach was a fireman who died in this catastrophe. Nine people lost their lives in this huge blaze a year and a half ago. Okay, so he'd been an assistant with this basketball team and told them that when they were seniors, you know, they were going to win state. Well, of course, it gets into the emotional thing, and they have his fire helmet that's always on the bench, and they do an interview with the wife, they do an interview with the team, yada, 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 state championship. They're 20-3 in the state final. They are ahead by 2 points with 1.7 seconds to go. And
are at the free throw line.
Have a gentleman at the free throw line shooting a 1-1. The other team doesn't have a timeout, apparently. So there's your 1.7. Summerville team that has the coach that passed away in the fire. They're 1.7 seconds away from winning state, and if they make both free throws, it's over.
There's on the free throw lane to force.
Yeah, there was. They missed the front end of the 1-1. The opponent grabs the rebound, dribbles around the post player, launches a 65-foot shot, approximately 70. It was the opposite free throw line, and it goes in. So the team that was the team of destiny there in South Carolina, they lose the state championship on a 65-footer. Uh-oh. Hold on.
They're celebrating. They're all over the floor.
There's devastation, and the other team's celebrating. But an excellent camera work, because I went back this morning and watched it. You can watch it on YouTube. Just put in Summersville State Basketball is what I put in, Summersville State Basketball. And you will see the last shot. The one I pulled up was really good, really clear, no doubt about what you could see. You can't see necessarily a clock in the background, but you could see what happened. But you can also see that immediately, all this celebration, the officials start looking at each other. They don't run right off the court like we do here in Nebraska when we don't care. They run together, and I mean, you can tell they make eye contact like, who had that? Should that count? And they group together, and then all of a sudden you can tell people notice that the referees are grouped together. Here comes a TV camera. Here comes a boom mic, which is the microphones they use in television that's hanging over the top. Some players. You can even see the coach of the team of Destiny walking over there, but they're not bothering him, but they're all close. And all of a sudden, the lead official breaks away from the group, takes 5 steps to the middle of the court, blows his whistle, and waves off the shot. 65-footer after the buzzer. And then the team of Destiny starts to celebrate, and Hollywood has their movie. And the other team runs off the court. They didn't mention it in the story, but give ESPN kudos that once the story was over and they came back to the studio, they said, many people have watched the shot over and over again, and we've even slowed it down to frame by frame, and it's hard to tell. I watched it this morning. I think the 65-footer should have counted. Because you can see they have the lighted backboard. So when that light goes off, that's it. It's over. That's the way it's supposed to be. And you can see the kid heaving it from his chest, and the ball is out, and the light goes on. Uh-oh! So now it's going to be a national story, and I'm interested to see if there's any more reaction to this. It's like a feel-good story that shouldn't be a feel-good story, yet you want it to be a feel-good story.
Well, you got the whole feel-good story part of it, and you know that was... It was great, but I could not believe the other team was not in an absolute riot environment. Because you know what happened here.
Oh.
I mean, this is for the
stuff on the floor.
This is for the state championship.
Yeah, state championship.
I mean, this isn't a Friday night normal game. This is a state championship.
I'm thinking of the other team.
And maybe something else happened.
They would never, I mean, this team will never forget winning state. But that team, winning state, equally as good on a 65-footer? That would never be forgot by the grandkids of the grandkids of the grandkids of the kid that made the shot. That's just pretty amazing. You have to check it out. I'm sure you'll be able to see it on either ESPN's website or on YouTube. But the whole story's there. It's a long 10-minute deal. It's a great story.
On the way home, they went to this gentleman's grave and circled around, and some of the kids laid their state medals on it.
Very emotional story.
Yeah, very emotional.
Very emotional. But boy, this, like you said, the way it was handled on both ends appears to be pretty good, because they're showing actual footage. They're not remaking it up, and it's something that I think is worth the time to watch.
Yeah, I think you're right. And we don't know if anybody or anything happened on the other end of that. That was not reported. I mean, obviously the story was done with this guy in mind, and that's what made the story emotional, and that's what captured the Hollywood moment, like you say.
You can fire us anything to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, we've got, Sam Keller signing, and we've got breaking news, and it's not Sam Keller, so I'm going to go with this. Former Nebraska quarterback Sam Keller has signed a 3-year free agent contract with the Los Angeles Avengers. But that is the Arena Football League. That is what you see on TV. He transferred to Nebraska, blah, 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 set a record, blah, blah, blah. His season ended when he suffered a shoulder injury against Texas, practiced for a short time with Tampa Bay after he was not picked in the NFL draft. Sam Keller signing a 3-year free agent contract with the Los Angeles Avengers.
Well, he wanted to continue playing. I guess he's getting that opportunity. A little bit surprised that it's a 3-year contract.
Yeah, that's seems like a long time, but who knows? You know, maybe he wants to be Kurt Warner.
Huh? Well, you're not playing for the Barnstormers.
I can already hear the cup-throwing league. Oh, what? We will be back with breaking news, and this is real breaking news, folks. Big story, huge story, just coming down the line. We'll pass it along to you right after this.
I'm sorry, we have to stop, man. No, no disrespect.
Time to take a commercial break.
Stop it, stop it, stop, 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 stop talking.
Even in a depression, the entertainment industry thrives.
Colin Coward, host of The Herd. I leave work at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific. Go home, kick back, relax. But at least once a week, bosses call, come back to ESPN for a meeting. No more. Now I've got GoToMeeting. Here's how it works. Everybody simply logs on to GoToMeeting.com, and they instantly see your computer desktop on their computer screen. It's as effective as being in the same room, but without the hassle of going back to ESPN. I tried it. GoToMeeting for your next meeting. I loved it. Right now, my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 full days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the orange Try It Free button. Use the promo code Colin. That's GoToMeeting.com. Try It Free button, and be sure to use the promo code Colin. GoToMeeting for your next meeting. I loved it.
We understand what's always on Husker fans' minds, and that's Husker football. And that's why this next Tuesday, June 3rd, Hastings Kinos Bar and Grill, two-time Nebraska Sports Writer of the Year, Husker Illustrated Insider, and sideline reporter for the Nebraska Sports Network, Sean Callahan, is in the house. Sean will show a short video of the spring game, give you a position-by-position breakdown of where he thinks the Huskers are at in his mind, and take all of your questions. Hastings Kino Bar and Grill, 7:30, June 3rd. Dollar-long neck specials all night long, and Sean Callahan's in the house.
Hawthorne Jewelry is celebrating 130 years of doing business in downtown Kearney. During our celebration, you can take advantage of store-wide savings that include our designer lines like Lorenzo Colored Stones, Bellina Wedding, and Engagement Rings. Our 130th anniversary celebration ends June 14th, and so will the savings. So hurry to Hawthorne Jewelry in the downtown Kearney Center.
Hawthorne Jewelry, Kearney's original jewelry.
The United Way of the Kearney area and the Buffalo County Community Organizations Active in Disaster has announced the location of services in the community for individuals who are in need of assistance following Thursday's tornadoes. A resource center for individuals needing help after the storm is open in the Kearney High School Commons area, North Parking Lot, 6th Avenue and 39th Street today from noon to 7 p.m. and Tuesday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Individuals who need help with long-term housing, clothing, food, and other resources will find assistance from a variety of agencies. People who need help with their own yard cleanup are encouraged to contact United Way of the Kearney Area at 237-6840, and the local Boy Scouts have offered to help clear branches and debris this weekend. Realizing that many people in the community are anxious to help, the community organizations active in disaster group ask that those wishing to volunteer and assist city and county officials in the cleanup effort contact the United Way of the Kearney Area at 308-237-6840 and pre-register to help. Officials are continuing their efforts to assess damage in the area and minimize safety risks before assigning cleanup work to volunteers. Additionally, a fund for those struggling with hardships caused by the tornadoes has been established through the United Way. Gifts to the fund can be made at the United Way office at 4009 6th Avenue or online at www.liveunited.org.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where we have got breaking news coming your way here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Here's late-breaking news from the world of sports on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Whoa! Whoa! Who put that in the budget? Wait a minute. Who put that in the budget? We go.
The boss has no idea.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Never got okay.
See, we don't even have a couch here to dig change out of anymore, so it's pretty bad. We go live to our Hastings studios this morning, where sports director and the voice of the Hastings College Broncos, Mike Will, joins us. Mike, some big news today. I guess no surprise overall, but you've got some big news coming out this morning.
Before I get to the big news, you guys are on a bigger budget over there than we are. I mean, you got liners and screeches and everything else over there.
It's pretty crazy. You should see what we do with chalk and cement and washboards over here.
Sorry, well, we got some big news coming out of Hastings College today. One of the winningest basketball coaches in NAIA history, Tony Hobson, the head women's basketball coach here at Hastings College, is stepping down. In fact, he resigned this morning. 7 years on the job. He's headed for Fort Hays State down in Hays, Kansas.
Has he ever been to Fort Hays?
I think he was last Wednesday when he interviewed for the job.
Mike, you heard about this. Your ear's always to the ground over there. Tony had a chance. Was it just last year to go to Missouri Western?
Rockers.
Is that right?
No, Missouri Western.
Okay. Missouri Western, yeah.
Following the last season, he turned that job down. Actually had that job, turned it down, came back to Hastings College, and put together a successful run again this year. Of course, 30-6 overall, got into the Final Four of the NAIA National Tournament before losing of that one. So he got this job offer, and he said it was too good to pass up. He was also a finalist for another opening at Nebraska-Omaha a couple of years ago. He withdrew his name from consideration for that job before the official announcement. So he's had a couple of job offers, and he told me last night, I met with him for about 90 minutes up at Hastings College. He said this one was too good to pass up.
What did he say the biggest difference was? I remember last year, Missouri Western's a great basketball team, but everything around it didn't seem to be where you wanted to go. And I don't know if UNO was too quick, but what did he seem to think was so much better about Hays than the other two places? Or
number one, he knew the athletic director evidently real well, good friend of his for the past couple of years. He mentioned that. Also mentioned the facilities. He said probably one of the best facilities in the Mid-America Intercollegiate Athletics Association, which they compete in. And just the overall field. He thought he would have the community support. It's a school that right now is thriving to become a winner. They did not have a very successful year last year, but they're wanting a winner down there in Hays. I think they've got a winning coach in heading down there in Tony Hobson.
Mike, as far as the search goes at Hastings College, will he be a part of replacing himself?
Pardon me?
Will Tony have a say in who gets hired over there?
As far as assistant coaches, yes. And it appears that maybe he's taking one of his assistants from Hastings College over there as well. We understand Kerry Hofstetter, the longtime assistant at Hastings, has applied for the assistant's job at Hays, Kansas. So, and the graduate assistant, by the way, for Hastings College, Katie Dent, has also moved on. She's accepted a job out in Wyoming. So as far as the coaching cup board is concerned, we could be empty here in a couple of weeks.
Well, that makes it real interesting because you're not going to be promoting anybody within this would seem to be a good job. Have you got any, have you talked to Fran Hummel? Have you talked to Tony about maybe where they would be looking for a new coach?
Last time we talked with the administration, we understand Philip Dudley, the president of Hastings College, was in a with a meeting with another couple of administrators and also Fran Hummel. We expect to get maybe an official word out of those guys sometime this afternoon.
All right, Mike, anything else we need to know?
Well, not right now, my man.
All right, bud.
Yeah, this is a team, by the way, Tony is inheriting a team that finished ninth last year out of the 10-team Mid-America Intercollegiate Athletics Association. They were 11-15 overall, 5-12 in the conference.
Good thing they got out of the RMAC.
Yeah, he's taking over for a girl who left for University of Minnesota Duluth. She spent 8 years there. So this is also the conference where Nebraska Omaha is going to join this year. So and this is also the same conference that Missouri Western plays in. So the team that he turned down last year, he's going to see.
What the hell is he thinking?
I couldn't get him straightened out last night. It took me 90 minutes, and I still couldn't get him straightened out.
Bottom line is, I think even if we talk to some folks here at UNK, Fort Hayes has all the pieces in place to be good, don't they?
I think so. They play in, like we said, one of the best facilities. These are the best facilities in the conference. They play in an arena that seats 6,900 folks down there. So they want a winner down there, evidently. And like we said, Tony, he was confident that he could turn things around.
All right, Mike. Well, we appreciate the info. And before we let you go here on a different subject, Big Brown is a lock Saturday?
Don't count out that casino horse.
Casino Drive.
Really?
Yeah, because what is a casino driver or something?
Yeah,
like
Casino
that?
Drive, I believe.
Did a little studying on him this morning in between the stories there. Don't count him out.
Japanese horse. They put 950,000
for him. And a rider who evidently has spoiled some of the Triple Crown threats in the past. Don't count him out.
All right, buddy, and best of luck next weekend.
Okay. By the way, I'll have some comments from Coach Thompson coming up throughout the afternoon here today. When we get to the sports later on today, we'll get to keep you up to date because there's going to be some happening news, I think, this afternoon.
Right here on ESPN, KHAS, and a lot more. Mike, thanks so much.
You bet.
Mike Will from Hastings. Tony Hobson has stepped down as the head women's basketball coach at Hastings College, winning 3 national titles in 7 years. They made it to the Final Four this year, going 30-6, pushed the eventual national champions to the wire. 7 years at Hastings College. Tony Hobson has resigned. He will be introduced as the new women's basketball coach at Fort Hays State this afternoon.
Party's going all over in their conference from the women's basketball programs.
We will be efforting Coach Hobson, and he's always been great to work with, probably tomorrow on the show. But right now, we're going to talk a little more baseball as the season has come to an end for the Huskers, and the beat writer from the Omaha World-Herald following the Huskers probably just about every single game this year, if not every single one. Mitch Sherman joins us this morning. Mitch, thanks so much for the time, and welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Yeah, I think I missed the South Dakota State game.
Oh!
Other than that, I saw everyone home and away.
Well, the big story, we had 3 or 4 different avenues that we kind of talked about today on the show, but I guess what I want to know is, where is the program right now, seeing as the way the season ended, as opposed to the feel-good story that this team really was throughout the year?
Well, the program is kind of in the same spot that it's been, I think, the last 2 years. You know, they're a 40-win-a-year program. You can expect Nebraska to compete in the Big 12, compete for the Big 12 title, as they did this year. You can expect them to be in a regional. And, you know, then it's kind of a grab bag. You know, the last 3 years have been unsuccessful. 5 of the last 6 under Mike Anderson have been successful. But this is not something that you don't see going on all around the country. Texas, just like Nebraska, has been knocked out of a regional the last 3 years. I think people would agree that be in agreement that Texas's program is in okay shape. LSU this year is making noise. It looks like they're going to be a real contender for Omaha next week if they can get by UC Irvine. That's a program that hasn't been in the tournament period the last couple of years. Florida State hasn't been to Omaha since 2000. Miami didn't win a regional a year ago. Stanford wasn't in the tournament last year. It's a different age in college baseball now. You can't expect, just because you saw Nebraska in the College World Series in 2001 and 2002, and then again in 2005, that it's going to be a yearly or every other year thing. When you get into a regional, it's a dogfight. And we saw it again this year. That Saturday night game with Johnny Dorn against Daniel Bobona for UC Irvine. That was for the title, I think. I think if Nebraska wins that game, despite the way it played against Oral Roberts yesterday morning, if they win that game, and it's a 3-2 loss, they're going to LSU this weekend.
Well, Mitch, Doug posed a question, how good is the Big 12? We saw three teams, only one remain.
Yeah.
We saw three teams in the top 12 most of the season. Now only one out of the final 16 teams left alive. I took the avenue that, well, we beat up on each other all year long, and then all of a sudden comes the end and we're out of gas. Which angle do you take?
Well, that happens in the SEC, you know, just as much as it does in the Big 12. Those teams beat up on each other, and they seem to be able to make the College World Series every year. And the Big 12 has had success getting teams to the College World Series. So, I think this was a real interesting year in the Big 12, and there's some reasons why we've gotten to this point and see only one team playing and possibly nobody playing after A&M tonight. A&M could go on to the Super Regional round against Rice, but, you know, we'll find that out tonight. Oklahoma State was a Super Regional caliber team coming into the Regional, and I think they win that Regional if Andrew Oliver, their ace pitcher, is not suspended this weekend. That's just a huge, huge loss. He's the guy that beat Johnny Dorn 1-0 down in Stillwater in April. Was a first-team All-Big 12 pitcher, maybe the most consistent pitcher in the Big 12 all year. So to lose him and not have him on Saturday night against Wichita State, to me that's the reason they lost that game. And kind of like Nebraska, I think that game right there is for the regional title almost everywhere you go, unless you're like a Florida State that can score 58 runs in 3 days, you're not going to come back to three games. I'm sorry, 2 days. You're not going to come back through the loser's bracket too often and win these things because pitching depth is just at such a premium now with the way college baseball spread out. But the Big 12 had a disappointing weekend. There's no other way to look at it. I think Texas was a team going into this thing that a lot of people thought could surprise Rice. Rice wasn't playing all that well toward the end. They went 0-2 in the Conference USA tournament. Texas won the Big 12 tournament. Swept A&M in the last week of the regular season. I thought Augie Garrido had it turned around, but just like the last 2 years, Texas couldn't get it done in the regional, so they're probably asking a lot of the same questions in Austin and around Central Texas that we are in Nebraska this week about what happens when you get to the postseason and why it hasn't happened since 2005.
Mitch, do we have any idea what Andrew Oliver did?
The newspaper in Oklahoma, the Oklahoma City paper, the Daily Oklahoman, had an article up on their website Saturday, that said that he may have had some kind of contact with an agent. Obviously that alone is not an NCAA violation. Andrew Oliver is a sophomore. He's not eligible for the draft this year, 20 years old. So it's really odd that this would be, this situation would be coming up when he's still more than a year from being drafted. But if he accepted something, money or anything else, he's done, and he won't be back with the Cowboys next year, I don't think. Depending on what it was, you don't see many circumstances where a guy commits that violation and comes back. And Oklahoma State saw it serious enough to at least suspend him for this weekend while they investigate it.
Rumor has it a press conference will be held. Mike Gundy will address the media on behalf down there this afternoon. Mitch Sherman joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show from the Omaha World Herald. Mitch, I guess everybody starting on the same day either hurt the northern teams because it sure didn't help them. Wichita State looks to be the northernmost team to make it to a super regional.
Northern teams have been successful now for a while. I mean, starting with Notre Dame and Nebraska early this decade, you see Oregon State winning the national title the last 2 years. I don't know that anybody expected that you would just say, okay, February 1st you can start practice, you can start games 3 weeks later, that it was going to all of a sudden in 1 year translate to northern schools, playing on the first weekend of June or the second weekend of June. Michigan hosting a regional, it doesn't happen. Oregon State doesn't even get through into the tournament. Nebraska struggles. Notre Dame didn't make the tournament this year. When you look at it now, sure, it's a down year for northern teams. And Wichita State, I don't even know if I'd classify them as a northern team. They're kind of on the border, It's hard to say Oklahoma State's a southern team and Wichita State's a northern team when they're separated by about, 70 miles. But I guess that's where the border is, the Kansas-Oklahoma border. So Wichita State, though, they're going to carry the flag probably end up going to Tallahassee this weekend to try to keep that Florida State streak continuing for their absence from Omaha.
Mitch, great stuff. Appreciate the time as always.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Take care. Mitch Sherman, beat writer for the Omaha World Herald on the Husker beat, and the season has come to an end. So kind of a pretty big segment there. Talk a little Husker baseball. Season's over. Tony Hobson stepping down as Hastings College women's coach. We've got a couple minutes left on the program. We'll wrap it up right after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I'll be back in a moment.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding you. I wish I were.
We understand what's always on Husker fans' minds, and that's Husker football. And that's why this next Tuesday, June 3rd, Hastings Kino's Bar and Grill, two-time Nebraska Sports Writer of the Year, Husker Illustrated Insider, and sideline reporter for the Nebraska Sports Network, Sean Callahan, is in the house. Sean will show a short video of the spring game, give you a position-by-position breakdown of where he thinks the Huskers are at in his mind, and take all of your questions. Hastings Kino Bar and Grill, 7:30, June 3rd. Dollar-long neck specials all night long, and Sean Callahan's in the house.
How could a simple one-syllable word be so complicated? There's silicone caulk, latex caulk, silicone latex used only when the barometric pressure is rising caulk. Wow, it's all so confusing. Well, for the best of the best, DAP 3.0 is all you need to know. DAP 3.0 won't crack, won't shrink, and with quick dry technology, you can caulk and shower in just 3 hours. Go with DAP, the leader in caulk and sealants. DAP 3.0 is all you need to know. Learn more at DAP.com.
Honey, let's go out to dinner this week.
Where? That stuffy French place?
How does a three-course meal for two at Ruth's Chris for $89 sound?
Not stuffy, not French. Perfect.
The Ruth's Chris Summer Celebration for Two is only $89. Enjoy our delicious filet, chicken, or seafood in the warm and inviting atmosphere Ruth's Chris is famous for.
So, when do you want to go?
I'll be in the car.
Ruth's Chris Summer Celebration for Two, a three-course meal for two people for just $89. Only at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, available for a limited time.
Let's go. Doug and Danny's show reminding you that with summer upon us, Misco Sports is the place to be on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center. Whether it's baseball or softball, whether it's just exercising, a lot of people out this weekend enjoying the beautiful weather. They've got T-shirts, they've got workout shorts, they've got, well, comfortable shoes for you to be in as you're walking around the track or the block or out running. Misco Sports, of course, has everything you need, and of course, camps are coming up. You might need some football gear. You might need some volleyball gear. Talk to Steve and the gang at Misco Sports on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center. From baseball to football or just relaxing. You know, you're out watching the games. You want to be comfortable. Look sharp. From Misco Sports on the bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. I just got one thing to say about the MMA deal on Saturday night. If you don't have an ear, you can't be in it.
Yeah, they're bringing MMA. Bringing MMA to prime time, and then that's a big event now. That's a big event. There's going to be more of it. So if you didn't like it, well, get used to it because it's coming at you.
Giddy up.
Giddy up. Kimbo Slice scares me.
You know, the sad thing is, I knew it was coming up, but I heard more about it today. This James Thompson wasn't even that good. I mean, I thought he was going against, like, a top guy. I thought this was one of the top guys in MMA. No, he's like 16-8. But it was prime time, CBS, so I guess they got what they wanted. Hey, gang, thanks for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, want to say thanks to all the folks that have been putting in the time since the tornadoes on Thursday and getting Kearney and Aurora and all the other places in between cleaned up. Chance of rain and severe weather all week long. Welcome to Nebraska, folks. But, again, thanks to all the folks that are still out there working. And we want to thank Mitch Sherman for joining us on the show today. Tony Hobson stepping down as the head women's basketball coach at Hastings this morning.
We will effort him up for tomorrow's show. We look forward to seeing you then, 14-16-15-50.
You've been listening to a Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.